Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. With Cybersecurity Awareness Month upon us, today we're speaking with Jonathan Tomek of Digital Element on the topic of virtual private networks, or VPNs, which were first invented in 1996 as a way to secure corporate networks. And Mr. Tomek, thanks for joining us here today.
Thank you for having me, Eric.
You're certainly more than welcome. Thanks for your time as well. So, Jonathan, to kick things off and to help our audience understand what VPNs have to do with Cybersecurity Month, could you give us some background on their function for companies to get things underway here today?
Sure, absolutely. There's primarily two different use cases for VPNs when people hear about them. One is the more corporate side of things, which is allow you to have secure access to your corporate infrastructure in a secure manner. But more often now, a lot more people are hearing a lot more about them, the commercial kinds of VPNs, the ones you're going to see on like YouTube and the advertisements to say, hey, bypass all these security mechanisms or allow you to watch Netflix overseas. So those are the two big differences. But effectively, as a roundabout way of describing it, they are encrypted tunnels to make sure that your traffic is not supposed to be sniffed by anybody outside of the people you, the two connection devices that you started it with.
Thanks for the explanation and description and feedback. Most helpful. Now, I would think that this changed everything with the pandemic lockdowns. Am I correct in saying that?
So with the pandemic, a lot more people are now working at home. So VPNs are probably more essential than ever, mainly because there's a lot more ability to kind of sniff on networks. I mean, that people are working from home or working remotely at coffee shops or where have you. We want to ensure that infrastructure is basically secure. Well, with that being said, the same thing goes is not just for corporate interests, but people are now using those commercial VPNs, as I mentioned, to start using them. And a lot of people are basically putting a lot more trust into those types of systems. And because, hey, everybody needs one because all the marketing is out there for it, right? So that's why we're seeing a lot more of that now since the pandemic broke, because it's much more popular.
Yeah, it certainly makes a lot of sense. And another question for you out of curiosity, how many people do you think are using VPNs today?
Wow, millions upon millions. I mean, the thing is not everybody's using a VPN always enabled, so that kind of can vary the numbers. But I would say if anybody is working in any sort of business, they are absolutely going to be using one. Zero trust networks do the same thing. But when it comes to the commercial ones, I would say at least a third of users around the world, at least if they're online. I couldn't give you an exact number, but definitely hundreds of millions for sure.
That certainly is a mass of folks using VPNs for sure. Now, what is your tip for enterprises on why they should be concerned about the employees who may use a VPN at home to either secure their privacy or circumvent geo restrictions so that they can, say, watch British Netflix?
That's a great question, because that directly applies to what I was mentioning about the commercial VPNs, the ones that are selling their services to trust us because we're here to protect you from all the bad malicious hackers out there. Well, those types of networks, basically, is exactly that. You're paying somebody else for their trust. You're expecting them to be good for you. Well, we've been seeing actually a lot more recently that some of these VPN providers are actually not doing that. They're not up to the standard, even with some of the audits that they've been doing, that they've actually been, some of them have malware on there, or they're not protecting their backend servers. Some of them even have the ability to install certificates. And what that means is they'll install the encryption certificates to allow them to decode traffic or somebody that has access to them to be able to say, hey, I can see everything in plain text. So if you're logging in to, say, British Netflix, they can see your Netflix password. So it's you're paying somebody else for trust, but you're not getting that trust. And the entire intent behind using these networks is clone, like telling that person, I want to hide where I'm located. So they're kind of already starting it and using it with the purpose of defeating some sort of prevention mechanism in place. So it's not really the best, it's not in the best interest of an enterprise to want their employees to be using these, because you're using potentially nefarious software to circumvent potential restrictions and protection mechanisms that you would normally otherwise have.
Really some interesting information here today. And Mr. Tomek, we certainly do appreciate your visit. We're speaking with Jonathan Tomek, the VP of Research and Development at Digital Element. Jonathan is a seasoned threat intelligence researcher with a background of network forensics, incident handling, malware analysis, and many other technology skills. He's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of VPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, let's say customers use VPNs to sign into their bank accounts or pay their utility bills. Is the bank or utility company at risk in this regard? And can a corporate network be infected with malware?
So I'll break those questions down just a little bit. So potentially, yes. I wouldn't necessarily say the bank is potentially at risk, but definitely the users that are logging in could very well be, because using VPNs and proxies and things like that to be able to log in to a bank, having a VPN or a proxy can disguise IP addresses. You can disguise your IP address around the world. So if you might have a weak password, Eric, and you might be using it on several different services that are out there, right? Because a lot of people like to use password reuse. Let's say somebody was able to get access to that, and I can just start spraying these passwords at banks or utility companies to be able to log in. And now I have access to potentially your bank accounts. So that is a problem both for the person, the customer, but also for the bank, because they might have to pay out, because they're the ones that should be also trying to protect their customers. Now, on the same side of that, could they be infected with malware? Well, that I'm going to say is a kind of a different question, only because, yes, the people that are installing the software, the actual VPN software, we have already seen that some of them have malware installed on there. And that right there is the very first step to being able to break into an organization. But additionally, on top of that, what happens if your home IP address is used by that same VPN network to try to make it look like they're coming out as you? So there's a lot of really big risks associated with using these VPNs.
Yeah, another question for you as well. Now, why should corporate cybersecurity teams investigate the features and policies of VPN providers? And what red flags should they be looking for? And also, how should they use what they learn to set access policies in place?
So in the terms of the corporate security teams, not every VPN is the same. Some VPNs are intended to be primarily used for organizations to log into corporate infrastructure. So that is a very crucial thing out there. Some of them even have had vulnerabilities in the past where those VPNs have been infected. So then you might, for a very specific moment in time, be concerned with people using those VPNs, or at least the IP addresses coming from those VPNs. But within that, the more commercial side, some of the features, like the ones that provide no logging solutions, the ones that allow cryptocurrency payments or anonymous kind of payments, are going to probably attract more nefarious actors, because they say they're not logging some of the traffic, but there's no way that's ever possible. But they are allowing nefarious activities to transpire the networks, and that's it. I mean, there's a lot of red flags within there. Like if somebody was trying to do password attacks or just any kind of penetration tests, like that could be very nefarious. But the big two, I would definitely say, are the no logging and allowing anonymous payments. But from in there, like there's a whole slew of other different like small little subset features that we can go into. It's like sometimes this one's bad, such as allowing unlimited users, or we always allow like residential type proxies. Like there's a lot more that you can dig into. So, and basically what you can learn from that is whenever you're watching all of this traffic hitting your network and you start adding this additional context to it, you can start seeing and painting a you can start seeing a bigger picture. You can paint this beautiful, whoa, this, I didn't realize how bad my architecture was being hit by potentially VPNs or proxy.
Real interesting. Learning a lot. I'm sure you've opened up the eyes of the audience in these regards as well. Now, over the last 9 months, your team at Digital Element has been warned about the threat posed by residential IP proxy networks. What are those and what kinds of threats do they pose?
Wow. Yeah. Residential proxies have been the new, I'm not going to call it necessarily the newcomer, but a bigger uptick has been happening over the past year. And effectively, a residential IP proxy network is using some home user's IP address to pivot so that you could look a lot more like just a regular human, not just a bot. And what I mean by that is if you're, Eric, if you're using your internet and you're coming through and bouncing through, say, a Amazon Web Service, you're going to look like you're coming from a data center. Nobody really lives in a data center, but people live in their houses. So if I have IP addresses that look like they're coming from regular people's houses, you now are able to go, hey, all of my access controls that might have existed for saying, hey, this is a hosting block, those I know I could ignore. But these ones that are coming from the houses, I have to really start sifting through their traffic to figure out what's bad, especially because if somebody's at home working from home, you now have all this regular traffic mixed in. How are you going to separate what's good and bad? And considering there are millions upon millions, I mean, we're talking hundreds of millions of residential IP addresses being proxy IP addresses being used, that is a really big threat, especially because those are the fire and forget. Anybody that's using them could use them once, or they could use them many times, and then that's it. And now you can be using one of 100 million IP addresses without being able to block it through a firewall. So it's becoming a bigger and bigger problem.
Unfortunately, just something else to be concerned about for sure, and thanks for warning us about that as well. Now, many of our listeners are among companies and brands who spend tens of millions of dollars in digital advertising each year. What threats do residential IP proxy networks pose to their budgets here?
So along the same lines of not just the nefarious actors using it to try to break into networks, which I know it always sounds really big and bad, the more gray approach is if you have one ad that you're just trying to sell and you're trying to sell it to very specific people and it might cost very little just to sell it to that one person. Well, one of the biggest problems is you have to pay for every single person that sees it. Now, if I was being a bad guy and I'm like, hey, you know what? I can make a lot of money from doing ad fraud. I could basically use one of these residential proxy networks and keep hitting the same ad over and over again for a lot less cost than it would be. So I'm making a pretty penny off of every single time I'm seeing this one specific ad. So I could basically run down the digital ad spend because I have 100 or a million different IP addresses that all look like unique users when in fact it was just me, one person, and a botnet. So you not even got one person that you wanted to see it, but you had a whole big botnet that was using it. So you basically just lost all of your ad spend effectively to a residential proxy network.
Now, under that scenario, that is one big nightmare right there. But I really appreciate you shooting straight about this and telling us what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. So I can appreciate that. As we conclude, going back to our listeners' hefty advertising budgets, what's Cybersecurity Month tip do you have for how IP intelligence data can prevent ad fraud and drive campaign performance?
So the biggest part to a lot of this is adding the additional context so you know what traffic is being is coming to your network. So not just from is it a VPN, is it a proxy, what have you, but where is it located? Like what does this IP do and why can I see it over and over and over again? Like, what does that mean? Because at moments in time, an IP address might be a home user, but then the next day it might change. How do you know what it is at that moment? You can't necessarily trust all block lists, but having additional context makes it a lot easier to understand what's going on, especially at a moment in time.
Mr. Tomek, really do appreciate your time spent with us here today and appreciate all you do in this space as well. If listeners wanted to get more information on Digital Element, where's the best place online to do so?
Well, the website digitalelement.com is the very first one to start with. They can reach out to me there. I believe there's some contact information. And yeah.
And that's easy enough. And of course, listeners, we'll leave that link within the show notes of this broadcast for your convenience. Mr. Tomek, all the best. And thanks again for joining us here today on EPN.
Thank you so much, Eric, for having me. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.
And you as well. Again, we've been speaking with Jonathan Tomek, the VP of Research and Development at Digital Element. Jonathan is a seasoned threat intelligence researcher with a background of network forensics, incident handling, malware analysis, and many other technology skills. And for all the details, visit digitalelement.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of VPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.